Michelle Morris is joining me now by phone. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time to talk with us. I want to start first about your background as a cook. According to your website, you've been cooking since a very young age.
You know, I remember cooking with my little Easy Bake oven when I was probably 4 or 5 years old. And while I don't have any distinct memories of being taught to cook by my mother, clearly she took me in the kitchen all the time and taught me because I grew up knowing how to cook. When I was 14 years old, I made a complete Chinese dinner for her 40th birthday, all from scratch by myself. So I must have learned a lot from her, and I'm sure her teaching me is what inspired me to go on teaching kids.
After that age 14 Chinese dinner, where did your next steps take you?
I went into a career that had nothing to do with food, and I did that for 25 years in the tech world, but I always cooked during that time. I continued to pursue education in the area, taking recreational cooking classes and going to cooking schools. And finally, about 12 years ago, I launched my business to provide private lessons to both adults and kids and to do food writing and really to follow my passion around food.
How did you know it was time to do that?
I had some things going on in my life with my kids that gave me a natural breaking point in my career. I had reached the point after 25 years in my other career that I could sort of take my retirement with me, take my 401k with me, and sort of have a change of life, change of career at that time, so it felt safer then. But I just was ready to do something that I was more passionate about.
So in addition to the cooking classes and lessons, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a minute, you're also a writer. How do you manage the relationship between your cooking and your writing?
I started blogging first. That was kind of my first food writing. For a year, I blogged about what I made for dinner because my cooking students wanted to know what I had for dinner, so I let them know by a blog. And after a year of that, I decided to launch a more traditional food blog with recipes and tips and wine ideas. And it just came naturally to me to write about food. I branched out from that basic recipe writing, food writing, into some other more journalistic things where I've written about the fish farm system in Canyon City that Whole Foods is part of, local chocolatiers in Colorado, things that are a little broader than just recipe writing. But I really enjoy the writing, and it's a nice complement to being in the kitchen.
You talked about just recipe writing. When you're writing a recipe, I've always wondered this, how do you get across something that is almost an art form, you know, say when you're adjusting the amount of a certain ingredient that you're putting in, how do you actually get that on the page?
Well, the first thing I tell all my students and also my readers of my blog is a recipe is just a starting point. It really requires the cook's own creativity in how you make it. When I write my recipes, I write them so that if somebody was going to follow them from top to bottom, that it would make sense, that it's written for a home cook, that it's not intimidating in ingredients or, you know, techniques or things like that. But I encourage my readers of my recipes to make changes to them, to substitute ingredients, to add more or less of something to their taste. Really, the only thing that's quite scientific is baking, where you need to follow, you know, quantities and ratios. But other than that, recipes should be a creative process like cooking.
So speaking of recipes, I was wondering if you may have a recipe that you could share with us, something pretty simple, you know, but that would be good this time of year.
I think the best thing to make in the winter are hearty soups. First of all, you can put about just anything into them. You can, if you've got vegetables laying around your refrigerator you need to use up, if you've got leftover meat or sausage or chicken or fish, anything leftover can be thrown into a soup. And they're, you know, belly warming for when you come in from the cold, come in from skiing, whatever you're doing outside. But also you can make them in quantity and then freeze them in smaller containers so you can just pull them out and have a quick dinner on the go. You know, pairing a hearty soup with just a salad and some bread is a great lunch or dinner. I also find they're just a great way to get extra vegetables into your diet. And I know a lot of people after the first of the year are looking to eat a little healthier. So it's a great way to sneak some extra vegetables. You don't really need a recipe. You can just start out with some chicken or beef stock and just add the quantity of other vegetables that you want to that and let it simmer till everything is a little soft and you're good to go.
What's your favorite thing to have in soups?
You know, I like to have chicken in my soups. I think there's some historic data around the immunity of chicken soup or how it, you know, helps boost our immune system. But I also like a really hearty spinach and sausage and those kinds of soup. I think probably my favorite is more like a stew, a green chili pozole. There's a great recipe for that in my Tasting Colorado cookbook.
You are also quite interested in local foods, and it sounds like that's a pretty big part of your cooking. In the middle of winter, it's sometimes hard to find local produce, for example. What are some tips you have for finding local food at this time of year, especially in, say, rural Colorado?
It's going to be tough to find any local produce this time of year. There are some people that are trying to do some hothouse, you know, local produce. But I think the best thing to do is to eat in season. So in the summer, it's not that hard to put up the produce from the summer. And I always am looking for the quick and easy ways, freezing instead of traditional canning if that's too much work for you. But I say, you know, put as much up in the summer to fall time as you can, and then you can enjoy that through the winter. Root vegetables, things like turnips and beets and carrots and onions, if you get those from a Colorado CSA, which stands for Community Supported Agriculture, if you get those through a local farmer in the, say, November time frame, they will last you for months through the winter, so you'll still be eating local. It's just that you're shifting from greens and tomatoes to squash and root vegetables.
What is your favorite thing about the work that you do?
I think my favorite thing has to be teaching kids. They're just complete sponges to learn to cook. This generation of kids has grown up with food TV, so they've seen a lot of cooking technique and seen a lot of chefs on TV that they all have their favorite chef. When they come to my cooking classes, the first thing many of them ask is if we're going to have a contest and who's going to be the winner. And I try to explain to them, cooking is really not a competition. Cooking is supposed to be something to do to feed ourselves and feed our families. But I love teaching kids. I love when their parents come pick them up and say, oh, you know, Billy doesn't like carrots. And I say, well, Billy just ate all the carrots on his plate because he cooked them himself. So that's one of my favorite things. I'm sure it goes back to my mom teaching me to cook.
Michelle Morris is the owner of Cooking with Michelle. She's also a freelance cookbook author and a blogger. Michelle, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thanks for having me.